It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Brendan Campbell. Dr. Campbell's a pediatric surgeon. He's the chair of pediatric surgery at Hartford, Connecticut and Hartford Children's Hospital. Dr. Campbell.
Thanks, Ronnie. All right. I have no disclosures. So briefly, in the next 9 or 10 minutes, I'm going to cover a little bit about the epidemiology of pediatric firearm violence specific to how we can prevent it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the opportunities we have for counseling the parents of our pediatric patients in an effort to prevent these types of injuries. And then lastly, I'm going to talk a little bit about a project we currently have ongoing through the Injury Prevention and Control Committee of the COT, which we've undertaken under the leadership of Dr. Stewart, Dr. Kuhls, and Dr. Bolger. So I think one of the things that's so challenging about gun violence is that Americans have a really difficult time understanding low probability events and recognizing what they can do in their lives to prevent these types of things from happening. And the challenge we have as we begin to devise programs which might prevent these things is translating what Don Reed said so eloquently into programs that we can actually incorporate into our practice. When I was in the second grade, the New England Journal of Medicine published a paper which recognized that the presence of a gun in the home was actually associated with an increase in the incidence of accidental shootings and violent shootings. And that was when we first sort of began to realize that this was a modifiable risk factor. So with respect to pediatric injuries specifically, I think we as clinicians have to recognize that about a third of American children live in a house where there is a gun present, and that 13% of those homes, the gun is actually stored in a way that is not safe. Not sure how that last slide advanced, but it did, but that's okay. So one of the things that it's also important to realize is that many parents have unrealistic perceptions about their children's capabilities and behavioral tendencies with respect to guns. And half of gun-owning parents believe that active strategies, education, and supervision are the best way of preventing gun injuries rather than making sure that guns and ammunition are stored safely. So this came out in the Journal of Pediatrics right before Sandy Hook happened. And the first bullet is the one I want to draw your attention to that says, primary prevention is essential. And the challenge with that is that that is a true statement, but the problem is we don't have effective primary prevention that we can apply to our practice. And this paper was one of the two most widely read papers in the American Journal of Public Health last year. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that when people were asked, you know, who do you go to for information about safe storage, you see that as physicians, we're down at the bottom. So many gun owners are not looking to us, at least currently, for information on how to make their homes safer. So that's something that we've got to figure out how to do better. And when the National Research Council looked at this, they identified that there are a lot of well-meaning groups out there that are trying to do things to prevent kids from being injured by guns. But oftentimes, these programs are not based on available theoretical models or on data that shows that they are effective. This is sort of the typical thing that you'll often see come out of people who are trying to do the right thing, and that's clever and colorful and certainly catches your attention, but it's not likely to get people to change how they store their guns at home. So one of the first things that, or one of the things that has come out of the Injury Prevention and Control Committee over this last year is this brochure, which has taken an evidence-based approach to delivering this message to our patients in a way that is effective. And this is one of the photos and slides that will eventually be part of this, and this is all well and good and important. But we also have to find a way to how can we get this message to our patients in a way that's going to change what they do. So one of the ideas that came out of the COT is with respect to preventing injuries in children, is a tablet-based firearm safety project. And what this does is tries to adopt and utilize what the National Research Council taught us, is to do this in a way that is not only providing the message, but is studying it as we deliver it. And we identified an evidence-based message, limited it to 3 minutes, that provides parents with this safety message and also collects data. So we enrolled it in 10 different centers, both adult but mostly pediatric centers, with a good geographic representation across the country, with the goal of enrolling 500 parents of pediatric patients. So the message was catered to those under 10 with a message trying to prevent unintentional shootings and with an emphasis on suicide prevention and lethal means restriction in the group over 10. These are the centers that we had that participated in the pilot phase of this study and enrolled the parents of 543 patients so far. So the results of this were interesting and important to guide us as we begin developing the next phase of this study. And we were happy to find that parents of the pediatric patients who received the safety message were receptive to receiving anticipatory guidance on the issue of firearm safety. And we were also happy to learn that of those patients who had parents of patients who had guns in their home and did not store them safely, 2/3 of them said after viewing this safety message they would store their guns differently. So the next step, phase two of this study, which we will be undertaking at these centers and hopefully some additional ones in 2019, we're going to refine the safety message being delivered to the parents, and we're working on developing a way that's going to evaluate whether we actually can get families to change how they're storing firearms in their home. And with that, I will conclude and look forward to discussion at the end of the panel.